Okay, let's get into it. Today we're doing a deep dive into the Department of Human Settlements annual report for the period ending March 31, 2024.
Right, and our mission really is to give you that strategic overview.
Exactly. What are the core themes here? What does it all mean for, you know, housing delivery on the ground?
Well, the central tension is, it's just so clear in this report, you have the department trying to deliver on its constitutional mandate housing security of tenure.
The basics.
The absolute basics. And they're up against one of the most challenging environments I think we've seen in a long time.
And we're not just talking about the economy.
No, not at all. We're talking chronic socioeconomic strain, yes, but also major natural disasters, floods, fires, and of course the truly devastating Uzindiso building fire in Johannesburg.
Which claims 76 lives. Just a profound tragedy to set the background.
It is.
So outside of those terrible events, what were the big macroeconomic pressures they were dealing with?
It was a squeeze from every single angle. I mean, you start with the unemployment rate. It was sitting at 32.9% in the first quarter of 2024.
Incredibly high.
And you combine that with a benchmark repurchase rate of 8.25%. For millions of people, that just makes formal homeownership a complete fantasy.
And that's what creates the strain on the gap market.
Precisely. You have people who earn too much for state subsidies, but they earn far too little to get a bond from a bank.
So the informal settlements just continue to grow.
They proliferate. And then on top of that, you have the operational headaches.
Like the budget cuts. The report mentions significant constraints.
Yes, exactly. Big cuts to crucial funding streams. We're talking about the Human Settlements Development Grant, the HSDG, and the Grant for Upgrading Informal Settlements.
The ISEPG.
Right. But honestly, the most disruptive factor they cited wasn't even the budget. It was organized crime.
The construction mafia.
Yes. These syndicates are forcefully extracting protection fees from construction sites. It's led to contractors just abandoning projects altogether.
Which has to scare off international investment, too.
It does. It's not just a budget cut. It's an active criminal blockade on delivery.
So given all of that, the funding cuts, the site abandonments, how did they actually perform on delivery? I mean, did they hit any of their targets?
This is the really surprising part of the report. They delivered a massive win on financial governance.
Oh, really?
They received a clean audit of their financial statements for the year.
A clean audit. Wow, with all that chaos.
A clean audit. And on delivery, they actually beat their targets. They achieved 107.1% of their annual goal.
So that's what, over 41,000 housing units delivered?
Over 41,000. And on top of that, they launched the first home finance program, which helps that missing middle we were talking about.
And the Title Deeds Fridays campaign.
A huge success. They handed over nearly 50,000 title deeds to their rightful owners, securing tenure for thousands of families.
Okay, a clean audit is a major win. But, you know, clean doesn't always mean perfect. Where are the weak spots still showing?
You're right. And the cracks definitely appear when you look at internal controls and capacity.
How so?
Well, despite the clean financial audit, the closing balance of irregular expenditure actually went up.
It increased.
To our $8.759 million. So there's still leakage that needs to be plugged. But I'd say the biggest structural problem is capacity.
The vacancy rate.
It's alarmingly high. 24.20%. That means nearly a quarter of their essential posts are just empty.
Which has to cripple project execution.
It does. And it's directly linked to delays in recruitment because of National Treasury's cost containment measures.
So knowing these pressures and these wins, what does the roadmap look like for the immediate future?
The focus seems to be very targeted on clearing backlogs and just getting more efficient.
So unlocking those blocked projects we always hear about.
Exactly. Particularly the ones that have been stalled for years in Gauteng and the Free State. That's a huge priority.
And what else is on the list?
Prioritizing the removal of asbestos, which is a massive health risk. Accelerating the informal settlements upgrading program. And of course, the big one.
The Human Settlements Development Bank.
Working to finally get that operational.
It really feels like this whole report just encapsulates the sector's dilemma. The demand for housing is enormous.
Right. The need for security of tenure is fundamental.
But the tools they have, the budget, the capacity, the security, are just constantly being undermined.
That tension defines everything they do. I mean, the provincial notes from the Western Cape highlight the relentless problem of unlawful land occupation and, again, the construction mafia. It's a battle on every single front.
So here's the thought I want to leave you with. The department reported a total expenditure of R31.2 billion for the period, and there's this big push to get the Housing Development Bank running. The question is, How quickly can prioritizing vulnerable communities translate into truly resilient infrastructure, especially when you're facing this ongoing climate and economic volatility?